Hi, everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me today. Today's topic is going to essentially cover almost all things spirit guides. I know a couple of weeks ago, we actually spoke about what it is to raise your vibration and why that's important. So just to kind of preface this talk for today, I wanted to kind of give you some key takeaways from last week's talk, or I think it was the previous week, just so that we can kind of contextualize today's talk and why they are related to each other, and why raising vibration is so important, because it allows you essentially to communicate with your spirit guides and other beings whose vibration is pretty high in comparison to our own. So I believe it was a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the simple fact that everything in the universe, you know, contains within itself its own vibration, right? And here on planet Earth, your particular vibration, because we are in a dense state, we're in a state of matter, the vibration is pretty much slower, thus things materialize and become tangible. So because we are born onto this planet and our vibration is low in order for us to operate and live in, you know, this planet, if we want to communicate with other beings of light, then we need to ourselves raise our vibration so that we can actually communicate. So just so we can reach our guides, angels, other beings of light, and have an open channel to receive their messages, but also to be able to see them and work with them on a different plane, if you will. So spirit guides, in order for us to even begin to work with our spirit guides, we do have to raise our vibration. However, let me just explain a couple of other things, because I'm sure there are people who are listening thinking, well, I never worked on, you know, raising my vibration, and I met my spirit guide quite easily. Or there could be some of you out there, or probably quite a few, who have consistently worked on raising your vibration, worked on the chakra healing, clearing, meditated till the cows come home, and have still yet to meet your spirit guide. Perfect. I totally understand this, and I can relate, and I'm going to go through all of that today. But just let's go to the beginning and first talk about this whole idea of what spirit guides are, where do they come from, do we really have them, etc. So I want to address some of these questions at the outset. So because, as most of you know, I was raised Christian, I, of course, never, ever heard from anywhere on this planet that we had, quote unquote, spirit guides or guide that's going to guide our soul, you know, during our journey here. My understanding, of course, was that there's God and there's the devil and then there's us. And that's it, right? We're kind of on our own here. And there's Christ, you know. our savior. And that's our line of defense, right? That's pretty much it. However, when I started to meditate and unbeknownst to me, raise my vibration, I talked about this many moons ago in the other, I believe it was a podcast on meditation, how all of a sudden a person began to just kind of pop up in my meditations. I had a lot to learn, and I don't know that the path that I took was the wisest, but I made a lot of mistakes, and thus I feel better prepared to help, teach what not to do in terms of moving along this path. So in terms of spirit guides, again, now you're told if you did go to church, even if you didn't, you can even reference pop culture and know that we are told that we have guardian angels, right? So I think that was my only point of reference, you know, in church, being told, oh, we have guardian angels, but never in the capacity that you can actually really directly work with them, right? So that's kind of the closest thing I had in terms of thinking of helpers or a guide at all. But if once you begin to kind of transition into new thought or the new age belief system, it's as if everybody knows it and it's old news. It's nothing new. And it's not only, let me state it like this. I wasn't raised Catholic at all, and there is a difference between Old South Christianity, you know, like, yes, like being Baptist, Apostolic, Pentecostal is totally different world than, of course, being Catholic, because what I have slowly been learning about Catholicism is that there is a total acceptance and understanding that there are archangels and guardian angels and saints, by the way, which I will talk about, I guess, many podcasts from now, that are actually, that you can call upon for help. Now, again, if you are, you know, if you went to church in the Deep South and that's kind of your upbringing and your belief system, then none of that was a part of, I would say, your doctrine. So when I transitioned into kind of new age, and I don't mean that I've left behind all of my, you know, the Christian tenets that kind of structured my belief, that's totally not the truth at all. But when I began to kind of explore, again, I kind of felt like I missed some sort of massive information age where everybody knew it and I'm the last to know that there are spirit guides. So who are these spirit guides? Well, there are 100 books or thousands you can reference to get an explanation, a very simple explanation or definition of who they are. But from my understanding, number one, from what I've been taught, spirit guides are essentially spirits who have come through here, planet Earth, many a times, just as we all are now, learning and growing and honing our spiritual muscles, if you will. They're growing just like we are. They are, I've read in many texts that they are more involved, thus they're better prepared to help guide you during your journey here. So prior to your incarnation here on this planet, you are given assistance in the form of, let's call it, a guide. And this guide is going to help you with the life lessons that you chose prior to coming here and make sure that you kind of stay on your path, even though we do deviate at times because we do have free will. However, they're nudging you to keep you on the path. They're nudging you when it comes to making big life, you know, decisions. They're nudging you when it comes to following your intuition, right? So they are guides in a sense that are highly evolved, only in the capacity that they have gone through a lot of the life lessons that you're going through now, or that you're really trying to learn and understand really and grow through. So let me talk about, in terms of who they are again, are they your deceased loved ones? This is always a question and it's always an assumption. I would say yes and no. Yes, in a sense that when your loved ones cross over, they still want to make sure you're doing well. They still want to make sure you get the assistance that you need, the help that you need, the guidance that you need. They want you to succeed, essentially. However, they cannot infringe on your free will, right? And also, they do not have the training nor the knowledge or capacity to guide you the way that your own guide is able to do so. It's like they're charged to your physical account, if you will, while you're here on Earth to make sure, you know, again, that you learn and that you grow. And sometimes your loved ones love you so much that they want you to bypass all of the potential problems that you're going to go through and all of the heartache. Thus, they want to save you from that and prevent you from going through that. And that's not for your highest good, right? So they can probably speak on your behalf, like, hey, attention, you know, this person needs help with this. Can we get some assistance from above? I think they can be your spokesperson in that way. However, they're not charged to your spirit during this sojourn on this planet, okay? So that addresses that. In terms of ancestors, okay, kind of along the same lines there. Now, I have learned through meditation, I've never thought about ancestor worship or practice or anything like that, because again, that totally was not within my belief system. However, I remember doing a meditation about 4 or 5 years ago, and some male stepped forward who said that he was assigned to me in terms of being an ancestor just to watch over me. And he told me his name, and you know, of course, I kind of didn't believe it at the time. But when I went to my family and asked if they knew who this individual was, and they were like, oh, yeah, that's your great, 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 great uncle. And I was like, oh, my God, creepy and super cool at the same time that I actually have an advocate in the spirit world, which I feel like I'm missing. So I do know from my own personal experience that, yes, you do have an ancestral advocate who's kind of watching over the lineage, but also, you know, again, a sign to make sure that you're fulfilling your life lessons and just helping you out. And possibly, I would say, kind of helping you through your struggles, because chances are they've had very similar struggles when they were here on the planet. So our spirit guides, your angels. I would say yes and no. Obviously, angels, from my understanding, they have never incarnated here in human form. They're their own species, right? Just as we are. So it is not their job to incarnate in human form. Now, again, if we reference the Bible, we are told that we are given guardian angels to assist us and to watch over us, right? So we all have them. Do they have wings? Maybe, maybe not. I've never seen them. I see them in different colors, but they are there to help you. They're very loving. They also provide you high-level guidance, and they have an extremely positive outlook. The difference in getting assistance and guidance from the angelic realm as opposed to your spirit guide, think about it kind of like this, right? If you go to your spirit guide has been through all the hell that you have been going through during this lifetime. Okay, so they know the pain, the heartache, the loss, the struggle, the fear, you know, the sense of lack, sense of failure, all of that. They know it very viscerally because they've gone through it. Therefore, I feel like they're a little bit better equipped to answer certain questions, right? However, since the angels have never experienced that, it doesn't mean they do not possess the knowledge. It just means that they may not be able to give you the exact same insight as you would get from your spirit guide. Okay. Again, I'm not talking about, I'm not trying to do a comparison of superiority here. All I'm saying is that the approach is different in terms of providing you guidance, right? So the perspective might be a little bit different. However, my experience with getting guidance from the angels, it's very loving, it's very supportive, and they do make me look at myself. Like they're very, they try to get me to be as honest with myself, even if it's a kind of painful honesty to get at the root of an issue. My spirit guide will roll his eyes and say, I am so tired of you acting like a victim. So there are differences. When you need that soft support, I would say go to the angels. Your spirit guide just might roll his eyes or her eyes and be like, I need a break from you. So I think that, yes, the angels are your guides as well, but again, very different than your spirit guides. So let's talk about the archangels very briefly here. And I realize that not everybody listening to this call subscribes to Christianity at all, subscribes to the idea of the existence of angels and archangels, and I get that. But this is my experience, and this is kind of what I work with, not to dismiss the idea that there are other beings of light, because from my experience in meditation, I have had everything that only I can think of at this time approach me. Things that creep me out because they're just new to me, and things that I didn't believe ever existed. So I am not going to say that what you subscribe to is wrong, because I don't believe that either. I just have yet to have that experience and would love to learn. So in terms of the archangels, and I will definitely do podcasts about angels, archangels later, but are they your guides? I have to say, yes. Yes, they are. And we know that there are many archangels, more than what we think, you know, currently exist, of course, because God's always creating, and he's always creating like himself or herself or itself. And archangels, I think, are in constant creation as well, like us, in constant growth. So yes, I do believe that archangels can guide you. However, do you have one archangel who's been assigned to you throughout your entire lifetime? No, I don't believe that. I know that at certain parts of my life, certain archangels have showed up to help and guide, but they're all available for support at any time. All right. So that's pretty much addressing who your spirit guides are. So what exactly is their purpose? Well, there are, you have multiple spirit guides. You don't just have one. From my understanding, there's one that agreed to be your guide and that you chose, okay? So you also helped select this guide who might have an attitude with you, might be a bit of a wise ass with you, but it's also kind of what you need during this journey. Someone, you know, you might have a guide who's super sweet and loving, and maybe you need that comfort, you know, and reassurance throughout this journey. There is one that has been assigned to your spirit to help you from your incarnation until to the point that you return to go home. All right, so they're with you the whole way. However, there are multiple who come in and out depending upon what you need assistance with. So let's say that we do, you're having health concerns. You do have a guide. You will have a guide who will come in to help you manage your health, manage even a health crisis. You'll have a guide come in for business and manifesting money. If you're trying to start a business, you'll have a new guide step up who will try to help you get and guide you to the best resources, the best people necessary, the best area to help you set up in the best region, etc., right? So you will have that type of guide come in. If you're trying to manifest money, you also do have a money guide, which is great. We could just call them abundance guide so it doesn't sound greedy, who will come in and also help you with manifesting money. Do you have a romance love guide? Yes, you really do. Some people see them really as cherubs. I've seen a couple of them as cherubs, which was, again, not something I ever thought I would really believe, but you do have love guides who will help you with self-love, which is the one thing that has always been stressed to me. Like, before you jump into any type of relationship, you need to learn to love yourself and accept yourself first. That's always the first lesson they give me. But you do have a guide who will help connect you to the right person for the purpose of soul growth. And it is for the purpose of both parties growing together, loving each other, but also learning to love yourself more. So you do have those types of guides who pop in and out. However, again, the backdrop guide, the one that is always there, has been there since the beginning and will be there when you exit this plane. So again, there's one main guide. Now, do they leave us? Does your main guide leave us? This is such a good question, but a very important question, because I'll talk about my experience, but I would love to hear everybody else's experience with their guides, because I've heard all kinds of relationships and all kinds of stories, and I've also experienced a strong level of frustration. So I would love the feedback and the stories, but do they leave us? And if you would have asked me this 4 or 5 years ago, I would have said no. So I'm still kind of working through this myself, but when I first started, I had two spirit guides approach me. One of them, I could never see his face, but I could always see from the neck down. I could always see his clothes and I could hear his voice so freaking well. And he is so bubbly, and I love talking to him because he always made me laugh, and he has such a big heart, and he was my main guide. But then I had another guy approach, I think a few weeks later, who I could fully see, talk to me, but was very stern with me and liked that I was a very disciplined person, but needed me to be even more disciplined, and I could fully see him. And I was a little confused because I wasn't sure, is this my main guide or is the other one my main guide? I don't know. But let me state, I've had some changes. So my main guide, kind of a year after working with him pretty closely, went MIA and has yet to return. And this has been like, I don't know how many years. He's been unreachable. I've just pretty much given up on trying to reach him. I do know that someone else stepped forward who comes in and out. When I say they come in and out, I mean like they rarely come in. But I know they're there because I can feel them, but communicating with them is like pulling teeth. So has my main guide left? I'm still trying to discern that. I feel like the answer is yes. I was told personally that it was because I learned so much that I finally got on, quote unquote, the path, my path, not that there's one path for the world, that I finally got to where I need to be. He helped me with those lessons, that he stepped back so others can come forward to help. So I have to say, truthfully, yes, I think that your main guide could possibly leave you, and you'll have others coming in to help depending upon where you're at on your path. So it can be really confusing because I'm personally still trying to work this out, but I'm tired of arguing at him. It's at him, not with him, because it's a one-way conversation. But I can't say that he won't be there when I cross over, because I suspect he will. And I hope so, because I think we need to have a conversation. But anyway, I digress. So how many spirit guides do you have at once? I think you have multiple. It just depends on what's going on in your life. You may have a series pop in, and you may not have any come in that you will ever see. So let's talk about this a little bit more, because a lot of people get mad that they can't see them or hear them or even feel them. And I get it. I've been there too many times, and things change, okay? Because your gifts change, and that's another conversation for another day. But let's say you've been meditating forever and a day, and you've been doing all of the spirit guide meditations that you could find on YouTube and everywhere else, and nothing ever comes. No one ever shows up. No one shows up in the chair that's supposed to be there. No voice comes. Nothing. No matter if you sit there for 45 minutes to an hour and you've been doing this every day, why does this happen? Ugh, such a good question. Such a profound question, because for some people, it's immediate. Like, they don't even have to try. And for others, you're on the struggle bus forever. I had a friend who I was teaching a few years ago, and literally during her second meditation that I guided her through, boom, her guide was there. And they were talking up a storm, and they did for a few weeks, but then she was no longer able to reach him anymore. Like, she said she just couldn't get to him, and she didn't know why, and she hasn't been able to for quite some time. Which I find fascinating. It's like, well, I wonder, why does that happen? Is it a testing period? What's the deal? So for those of you who have yet to meet your guide and you're, you know, doing everything imaginable, I feel you. Because when my guide kind of went MIA, I was meditating hardcore, even longer, for longer, you know, periods of time. I was chanting. I was doing everything. Like, come back. Damn it, come back. And it didn't work. So I've had a lot of time to kind of think about why that occurs, but I don't know that I've come to a conclusion. I think that if you're just starting out and you have yet to meet your guide, my best advice is to keep trying. Now, don't fight through it, and don't get angry, because when you do that, it creates more of a block. I do think, though, that the reason this occurs is because they need to make sure that your commitment's there and that your intentions are good and that this is what you're really trying to do. Some people do it just for fun and, you know, they have no intention of working with their guide permanently. So I think that sometimes can contribute to the reason as to why you're not able to reach them. But I think also there's kind of a testing period, a test of your devotion and commitment. And I have to say, I understand that in one way. However, it can be very frustrating and very discouraging to continue when, you know, you keep doing the same thing and you're expecting like a different result. It sucks. So I can't tell you explicitly, you know, and definitively, the reason you are not meeting your guide is because of A, B, C, and D. It happens when you're ready and when they're ready. So it's a collective effort, to be honest. So sometimes, even if you can't meet them in meditation, you actually might be able to hear them. So just know that if they don't show up, you actually probably, if you practice, let's say with automatic writing, with channeling or something, you actually might find that you can just hear them. And that works pretty well, I will say. Being able to hear your guide talk to you is pretty freaking phenomenal. And that the advice and encouragement is the best. For those who cannot hear and see, but who have the ability to feel, you can probably feel the presence of your guide. Now, the problem with that is, okay, I can feel them, great, but I really need to communicate, right? I'm with you on that. Back in 2006, 2007, something shifted within me. And this is a very long story, but I started to feel the presence of things around me, which I never, never, ever had clairsentience at all. And I didn't know what it was. I thought I was going crazy. I really did. I was dizzy all the time. I was always starting to fall over. Like, I couldn't stand up. I thought physically my health was deteriorating. I thought something was wrong with me mentally, truth be told, because I constantly felt this floating sensation. And it was sometimes it was so strong. I was very frightened for my health. And then, of course, many moons later, I learned, oh, I can feel the presence of my guides, angels, archangels, and the dead. I had no clue that that was happening. So yes, you may be able to actually feel them. The problem that I have, because I'm not perfect, there's things I'm still working on and I don't understand, and yes, it does cause fury within me, is how useful is it when you can feel them, but you can't see or hear them? I always ask this. I'm like, okay, I know you're here. Like, as I'm giving you this talk right now, I know my guide is here. I can feel their presence so strongly. It's making me very dizzy, and I'm making sure I'm articulating clearly at the same time. But my thing is like, okay, if they're there and you can feel them, how is this useful? We are not talking with one another, but I do wonder if when you can feel their presence, if they are not giving you information through claircognizance. This is something I've kind of been thinking about lately, because I'll be talking to them, you know, or talking to my guide while I'm writing or thinking about a topic, and I can feel them so strongly. I'm like, what do you want? Because, you know, I can't see you. And it's like I have the answers all of a sudden. So sometimes I feel like with the clairsentience, when you're trying to communicate, it's through claircognizance that you'll get it, right? And it's kind of annoying. It's like a combination of the two. All right, I'm kind of digressing. So here's really an important piece of information that we should be talking about right now, is how to really identify your actual spirit guides as opposed to, let's say, lower energy spirits who might kind of be masquerading as your spirit guides. So these are kind of mischievous spirits who are playing around with you and tricking you. This is super important. And this is something that I always tell people that I teach at the beginning, they need to watch out for, because I did. And I think I spoke about this. In a previous podcast, that I had many teachers step forward because they all want to teach. However, some of them don't have good intentions. Okay. When you're first starting out, because you have yet to raise your vibration high enough, you are pretty much going to pull in energies that are at the same wavelength as you, okay? Which means it's of a denser nature. So you're going to have teachers whose spirits vibrate at that denser nature step forward to guide you. Now, are these lower energy spirits? Most likely, yes. Do they have very negative intentions? That's the belief. Also, I should state, since we're talking about this, there are extremely high level guides. And then I was told you have junior guides who are in training as well. We want the best of the best, the cream of the crop, to guide us, right? So what you need when you're first trying to work with your guide is discernment, to tell the difference between, okay, well, this guide is stepping forward. He says he wants to teach me about blah, blah, blah. This is when you need to trust your intuition about whether or not their intentions are good, about whether or not they're actually of the light to help you. And like I said, I've had some step forward it was very questionable. And I had some mischievous spirits step forward too, who wanted to teach me some very dark things. And of course, I'm like, no thanks, bye-bye, right? So you need to make sure that when you are, let's say, walking up that winding staircase, climbing that tree, whatever method you're using to meet your guide, going up, high up, because you're raising your vibration, that this guide is in alignment with your higher self. And that's always a statement that I state. Like, I have to, you know, when I'm praying before I'm trying to talk with my guide, that the information that comes is from a master guide that is in, whose spirit is in alignment with my higher self, with the highest good of all. Because there are all kinds of teachers and all kinds of wizards. And I feel like I just got told there's wizards. It's weird. They're all kinds, manifestors, wizards. There's another word I'm forgetting. God, I'm forgetting it already. Magicians. There we go. Magicians. There's everything under the sun that will step up to teach you depending upon what you're trying to learn, but also with their own, you know, their own agenda. So you have to make sure that when you're doing this work, that you're protected by the light, but that your spirit guides really do have good intentions and that they're of the light. So how can you tell the difference between the two? Well, for some of us, it is a gut feeling. We'll know something feels very off. If they're asking you to do something for them, negative spirit, okay? Because they're not going to ask you. If they're telling you, you must do A, B, C, and D, no. Because spirits know you have free will. They can give you suggestions, but they cannot dictate your actions, okay? Let's see, lower energy spirits will have very negative messages, very negative messages. They'll make you very afraid of certain things in your life. Their messages are fear-based. So usually it's a telltale sign that, hey, this is a negative guide and they need to back up and get out of your space, okay? I would say you're a real spirit guide. Your real spirit guide, their personality is going to kind of mesh with your own, okay? In a sense that when they teach you, they're going to teach you in a way that, number one, you can understand, where you can understand the information and really digest it and be able to apply it. They will also teach you some of them just don't sugarcoat things for you because your personality might not be receptive to that. You might be somebody who needs to hear a little bit of harder criticism, you know, so that you can be honest and actually move forward. And some people do need, that soft critique for them to not be so discouraged that they can also take the steps necessary. But I would say that your guide, though, is going to teach you in a way that is for your highest good. And they will be able to have, they'll be able to provide you very strong insights, but these insights are very loving. They'll have you look at yourself in a way that is crucial for your growth. And it's almost like a recognition. It's almost such a recognition when you actually meet your guide. It's like you've been there the whole time, the whole freaking time. You've seen it all, and I need hide nothing. And there's nothing like that feeling because you don't have to put on airs. You don't have to pretend. They know what you're thinking before it even, you know, escapes your lips. It's a very beautiful relationship, especially if you put in the time and effort and if it's a two-way relationship. I always say give appreciation and extend gratitude to your guide because, number one, being able to actually hear, see, and feel them and work with them this lifetime and know that they're there is a pretty amazing gift. Because for most of us, if you're of the belief that you've reincarnated many times, I'm pretty sure that many lifetimes we had no idea that they were always in the background, like trying to help you out. But now that that information has been brought to light and it's pretty, you know, accessible global knowledge, we should really extend a lot of gratitude for as much as they do to help us. And they are, the universe is invested in your growth. And I feel like everybody kind of needs to know that because nothing wants you to fail. Are there darker forces? Of course. But the light wants you to succeed in everything that you're doing. This doesn't mean that you're not going to have hardships, but they are going to help you, you know, grow and succeed in what it is that you're trying to do, but also in terms of who you, you know, who you want to be and remembering who you actually are. So they are invested in your growth and they are going to help you. However, they're not going to prevent you from learning your life lessons. You're not going to get to bypass that heartache, that pain, that failure just because your guide is there. They'll be there to support you and pick you back up to remember that you really are a strong person and you can do anything if you just believe it, right? So they're very encouraging. Now, last, I feel like the last thing that we need to kind of address is how do you work with your guide if you can't see or hear them? Such a phenomenal question. I feel like I was just having this conversation with a good friend of mine 2 days ago. How do you do it? There are so many ways. And I do think you should pick one of these ways because it's kind of a fail-safe. And if you are very down, or if you're very depressed, or if you're going through just a really dark cycle of your life and you're not meditating as much, or, you know, because your energy is so low, it's going to be hard for you to reach them in meditation or see or hear them. These are alternative ways to begin that relationship, but also to kind of get those messages during those really hard times in your life, right? When you need that support and guidance. Okay. So get your pen and paper out. I'm giving you my personal, I'll give you a few tips and tricks. So the first way I would say is through animals. I'm sure many of you are animal lovers and would love to communicate more and connect more with the animal kingdom. And as we're all pretty freaking well aware that there is a nasty stereotype about having a spirit animal in the New Age community, it's a nasty, dark stereotype, but it is such a great thing to have because it is so helpful. So what I'm trying to say is communicating messages through animals is the way that you'll be able to communicate directly with your guide, meaning that animals will be the symbols, will be your particular symbolic language that you use with your guide to get messages. However, this does require a little bit of homework on your part. This means that you either need to buy a couple of books on animal guides and their symbols. What is it called? Animal Speak by Ted Andrews is probably one of the best resources. Stephen Farmer also has a really great book on animal meanings and symbology, which is kind of my go-to actually. There are many more. Whatever is your preference, get it. Don't deviate, because when you tell your guide, hey you, I don't know your name, which is okay if you don't know their name, you can give them one. Just stick with it for the sake of consistency. And just tell them, look, I think that for us to begin to establish a good relationship, we should communicate using animal symbols. Meaning, okay, your guide, either in a dream, or if you're out somewhere, all of a sudden you see, you see a hawk. And this hawk's kind of trailing you. And then let's say you go to a store and there's a girl who comes up to you and she has a hawk on her t-shirt. And then let's say you're driving on the street, this is all on the same day, and you see a hawk billboard. Boom. Your guide is giving you a message. And he's like, how many more ways can I tell this girl, you know, through a hawk, her message to her question? Your job on your end is to get your book, get also a notebook and paper, and write out the meaning of what hawks mean, essentially. What is that message? What is that guidance, right? What is the symbology? That is your answer. So whenever you see a hawk from then on, you know that that is your answer to your question. And you have to do this with all of the animals because your guide's going to send you all types. They'll send you insects, everything under the sun, essentially, right? So that's kind of your job, to establish that language and understand it, right? So that's one way of getting, like, kind of kickstarting that relationship. I'm trying to think of the other way is through numbers. This is my favorite way, and this is a way I've been communicating for about 6-7 years now. Utilizing numbers and understanding what the meaning is behind numbers. So if you ask your guide a question and all of a sudden you start seeing repeating numbers over and over and over and over and over, usually referenced as angel numbers, then that's going to be your answer. And again, it's your job to know the meanings, to write it down and refer to that, and then kind of memorize what that means, okay? So I would just give you two ways that you can even begin to kind of start that relationship and communicate, establish that dialogue with your guide if you're struggling with hearing and seeing, okay? So once you start that relationship and, you know, keep it going, this is just the beginning of that relationship. It will morph, I promise you. Your guide will start to, how can I say this? Communicate with you most likely in an additional way. Like, that relationship is going to change and it's going to grow. But once you really develop just even that dialogue, I wouldn't be surprised if you start to hear or see your guide better. So little things will change. Nothing stays the same, right? Change is the only constant in life. So just know that the relationship will grow, but you got to take the initiative too. And don't be afraid to sit around in your house, in the bathtub, in the shower, and just talk to your guide. Just talk to your guide. Sometimes you'll just get intuitive hits. It's a feeling, it's a knowing, and it's like, huh. And the thought will just come out of nowhere. It's almost like you're talking to someone and you ask a question, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, what about this? Boom. When you say, what about this? That is your guide saying, here is the freaking answer. or here's my guidance, right? So just know that practice makes perfect. It takes so much time. So again, if you're frustrated and you haven't yet met your guide, don't give up yet. Don't give up. Find new ways to communicate with them. Ask them to come into your dreams every night. Just ask. And boom, one day someone is going to show up. And that happened to me too, very unexpectedly. But I was so glad when I woke up because I remembered every ounce and I just felt very grateful. So extend that gratitude when they do show you who they are. But we must not get caught up in the form itself. It's the content, right? That's always going to be important. So your guide's name is not important. What they look like in their human form, it doesn't matter. None of it matters. The message is always what matters, right? Getting that understanding, shifting your perspective, all of that, and being open-minded and being open and fearless is so important when it comes to just in general, when you're getting your message and getting the understanding. All right, I've rambled on and this is longer than it was supposed to be. I really, really, really hope this has been helpful information. And if you have any questions, please hit me up. Don't feel afraid to ask a couple of questions. If you would like a couple of questions answered on here, again, just email me and I'll do my best to address those as well. Everyone, I hope you have a really wonderful week and I'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.